Chapter 2. Objective Reality Hangover. The very structure of human thought changes in the course of historical development. Science, which in Wheeler's words is an intensely human activity, has a great effect on human beliefs and upon the very process of thinking itself. Science, to quote Albert Einstein and Leopold Infeld in The Evolution of Physics, is a creation of the human mind, which is to say that science reflects the very mind that created it. The development of science over the last few centuries has changed humanity's thinking, which is to say that it matters what physicists think. Heisenberg writes, "It must be admitted, though, that during the last 100 years, there have been such radical changes of thought pattern in the history, at least of our own science, physics, that it is perfectly legitimate to speak of one or even several revolutions. The transition from one age to the next can be triggered by a seemingly minute change in a single idea. Oftentimes, it is the abandonment of commonly held and cherished truths that has propelled science forward. Some of the most important science-generated beliefs that pervade our world and make up what is thought to be common sense are outdated and mistaken ideas that arose in science during the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. One such antiquated belief, which is practically a superstition, is the unquestioned assumption of an external, independent, objective universe with its concurrent, shallow, limited, and impoverished conception of how humankind, seen as a material object, fits into such an apparently objective world. Having fallen prey to this unreflected upon belief, we then try to fit this picture of objectivity that exists nowhere except in our heads into the real world. Ironically, from the scientific point of view, it is irrational and against the very spirit of science to cling to such a false and obsolete idea of the world we live in. To paraphrase a well-worn adage, it's not what we don't know that gets us into trouble. It's what we think we know with certainty that turns out to be false. Relating to an afterimage, as if it still exists, many physicists are doing quantum physics and successfully solving their equations, and yet deep in their unconscious are still subtly entranced in a classical mindset that sees the world as independently existing. To quote physicist F. David Peet, a revolution had occurred in physics, but at a deeper level the same order prevailed. The new wine of quantum theory had merely been put in the old bottles of Cartesian order. In trying to grasp a radically new approach to the world using concepts forged by their familiar old mode of thinking, physicists are employing the very modes of thought that the revelations of quantum physics are trying to subvert. Trying to form-fit a newly emerging phenomenon into an already existing framework is, in Feynman's words, due to the limited imagination of physicists. Clinging to the idea of an objectively existing world, what Heisenberg refers to as a limiting concept, is like holding on to the mistaken belief in a flat earth, all evidence to the contrary. Heisenberg writes, "The hope that new experiments will lead us back to the objective events in space and time is about as well founded as the hope of discovering the end of the world in the unexplored regions of the Antarctic." Like the old flat earthers, objective worlders are holding on to an inculcated unconscious belief, reinforced by several centuries of habit, that has now ineluctably been shown to be incorrect. A false make-believe figment of the human imagination. Wheeler openly wonders whether, in an interesting choice of words, we are sleepwalking if we think that we aren't influencing the results of our experiments. Not just the physics community, but the vast majority of our species is suffering from a similar holding on to what Stapp refers to as a known-to-be-false idea of the world by thinking it inherently exists separate from ourselves. When what we take to be real is recognized to be an illusion, it will initially be a disorienting experience. While in classical physics we pretended that we were outside the universe looking in, quantum physics has revealed that we are inside the very universe we are trying to understand. We have simultaneously come into and out of the universe at the same time. In a true inversion of reality from the agreed-upon consensus reality point of view, the difference between those who are committed to an independently existing objective reality and those who are not are roughly correlated with the distinction between those who are considered sane and those who are deemed insane. And yet, holding on to Stapp's known-to-be-false version of the world as existing objectively is nothing other than a form of insanity. It is as though the inmates are running the asylum. The objective world model, which still has such a pervasive hold on many of us, is a construct, literally a projection of a particular stage of human psycho-spiritual development. The quantum revolution has revealed that the classical worldview was a reflection of a particular psychological perspective, something that existed entirely within the minds of a certain strain of European humanity. It was then projected outwards on the world and became reified and rigorously mathematically formalized into an orthodox creed, and subsequently held the mind of modern humanity in a prison of its own making. Through this process, humanity had become entrained by the self-reinforcing fetters of the classical worldview, spellbound by its compelling vision, or rather hallucination, of the world. Providing a way out of this self-imposed prison, quantum physics heralds the advent of an altogether new stage of human psycho-spiritual evolution. Physicists who are still entranced by the notion of an objective universe with its concurrent exclusion of the observer are simply unwittingly recreating the greatest failure of classical physics, its inability to find a place to accommodate us, its creators. Human beings are not likely to thrive or endure in a society ruled by a conception of ourselves that denies the very creative essence of our being. A quick look at the condition of our world shows the devastating impact of this pervasive denial intrinsic to the Western, scientific, materialist worldview, both upon the quality of life for much of humanity, as well as upon the biosphere as a whole. A flaw in our physics has insinuated itself into our day-to-day lives, massively distorting both our psychology, individually and en masse, and its outer collective reflection, our social institutions. The false and disabling worldview that results from this cardinal error in physics can potentially alienate us from our intrinsic creative power as well as from ourselves. Our understanding of the world we live in determines the ethics we live by. Living a life based on a worldview that is an illusion can easily lead to living the wrong life. In revisioning our idea of the world we live in, we change our perceptions of the possibilities available in our world, thus opening up previously unimagined pathways of creative and effective action. Objective reality is an unexamined implicit assumption, merely an idea in our mind. It's similar to thinking that a cloud exists on its own, apart from the air. The idea of a cloud is an abstraction. Making a similar point in one of his personal journals, Wheeler writes, "All this talk about an external world, that's what's theory." Schrödinger was of the opinion that based on all of the existing evidence, the actuality of the objective world remains a hypothesis. What most of us call objective reality is simply an interpretation of data, the meaning of which is agreed upon by the majority. This can also be called a consensus reality, or more accurately, a consensus trance. It should be noted that a large number of people agreeing on the way things are is not in itself proof that their version of reality is correct. Perhaps their unconsciouses were all similarly activated in such a way that they fell into a collectively shared hallucination that they believe to be real. To quote philosopher Bertrand Russell, "The fact that an opinion is widely held is no evidence whatsoever that it is not utterly absurd. Indeed, in view of the silliness of the majority of mankind, a widespread belief is more likely to be foolish than sensible." An inherently existing objective world, something that has its own nature separate from something else, is a form existing only in the imagination. Upsetting the apple cart of consensus reality, quantum physics points out that objective reality does not actually exist. Wheeler was among the physicists who was realizing that instead of talking about the world out there, it was more accurate to talk about the image of the world out there. This is a subtle but important distinction, as it is emphasizing the subjective nature of the experience taking place within our own minds instead of referencing an allegedly objective world outside of ourselves. The apparent world out there has its roots in a field of sentience that is inextricably interwoven with the physical world, while at the same time being shaped by the world of innumerable observers. Jung asks, "How in the world do people know that the only reality is the physical atom, when this cannot even be proved to exist at all, except by means of the psyche? If there is anything that can be described as primary, it must surely be the psyche and not the atom, which, like everything else in our experience, is presented to us directly only as a psychic model or image." John von Neumann writes, "Indeed, experience only makes statements of this type. An observer had made a certain subjective observation, and never any like this. A physical quantity has a certain value. What von Neumann is pointing out is not only true in the micro world of quantum physics, but is also true of our everyday experience. Whatever perceptions we are having are just that, perceptions. And as they arise as subjective experience in our minds, they have varying degrees of correlation to whatever is happening in the seemingly outside world. There is not a demonstrable difference between our subjective perception of reality and a stable and durable collective hallucination. Our perceptions, be they of the micro or macro world, oftentimes tell us more about ourselves than the world outside of us, similar to how descriptions of a dream are revelatory of the dreamer. The notion of an independent objective reality that exists separate from an observer is a very deep-seated assumption, a habit of mind, which, like one of Kant's categories of perception, resides at a core level of the human psyche. This assumed viewpoint practically becomes hardwired into the brain, causing us to filter our perceptions so as to reflect back our fundamental assumptions. Regardless of the overwhelming evidence to the contrary, there still exists an underlying unconscious mode of language and type of thinking embedded in physics, which conceives of the world as having a type of objective existence that it simply doesn't have. What Philip K. Dick calls our materialist atomist blindness prevents us from seeing the field-like quality of reality that is inseparable from our consciousness. Thinking that there's an objective reality is a residue of the old materialistic perspective that lingers as an ingrained way of viewing reality, as if many physicists and the majority of our species are suffering from an objective reality hangover. The word hangover implies that we were previously intoxicated and were therefore seeing the world in a distorted, unhealthy, and inaccurate way. Quantum mechanics, to quote Wheeler, demolishes the view that the universe exists out there. One of the things that distinguishes Wheeler from many other physicists is his sober refusal to try to save pre-quantum viewpoints, particularly, to quote physicist Anton Zeilinger, the obviously wrong notion of a reality independent of us. For many people, the idea that there is no independent reality is unthinkable, an idea so off their map of reality that they can't even imagine it. The projection of an inherently existing world outside of ourselves is a deeply ingrained, seemingly innate, and habitual mode of perception. Old intellectual habits die hard. As the adage goes, one funeral at a time. It can be difficult to let go of familiar, comfortable, and tranquilizing ideas about the way the world works. Once we realize, as quantum physics reveals to us, that there is no separation between cosmos and consciousness, the appearance of this separation is recognized to be merely the perspective from which consciousness/cosmos can view its own projection. Just as within a dream, which is a projection of the mind for the purpose of potentially recognizing and thereby integrating its unconscious aspects, we can impute that the reason for this projection is in the service of a deeper integration. Heisenberg emphasizes, the idea of an objective real world whose smallest parts exist objectively in the same sense as stones or trees exist, independently of whether or not we observe them, is impossible. Thinking any part, big or small, of the universe exists as a thing in itself, a Kantian Ding an sich, is a mistaken conception, an abstract extrapolation with no counterpart in nature. The idea that the universe is made up of objects whose existence is independent of human consciousness is, to quote philosopher and physicist Bernard Despignat, in conflict with quantum mechanics and with facts established by experiment. In Buddhism, thinking that the external objects that populate our experience exist independently of our consciousness is termed a wrong view, which is based in confusion and ignorance. According to our subjective experience, the world certainly seems real enough, apparently contradicting what quantum physics is telling us about the world's lack of inherent objective reality. In the overwhelming majority of cases, the world behaves as if it has an independent reality, which furthers our visceral belief in objective reality and what becomes a self-perpetuating and mind-created feedback loop. In other words, because of the quantum, dreamlike, that is consciousness-based nature of reality, once we view the universe as if it independently objectively exists, it will manifest in a way which simply confirms our viewpoint. nature seems to respond in accordance with the theory and beliefs by which it is approached. The choices we make about what we observe make a difference in what we find. Wheeler wanted to replace the idea of an objectively existing world, or as he puts it, a hardware located out there, with a meaning software located who knows where.